Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we worship your holy name. Father, we lift your name on high because there is no name greater than the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this morning we come together, Holy Spirit, asking you, Lord, to permeate this sanctuary, to fill our hearts, to teach us, to open our ears that we may hear your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing?
Great.
Wonderful, wonderful. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And 2020 is almost over, thank God. Prayerfully, 2021 will be better. Prayerfully. I have a couple announcements real quick. First of all, men and women's study will be starting up on Monday the 4th. And then, of course, that's 6 o'clock. And men and women, you study separately. And then Tuesday morning, they have the same women's class. Don't have the men's class, but the same women's class. So, ladies, you get to choose from two services, which one you want to choose. It's an awesome class. Also, our BCF is going to start up soon, and I'm excited about getting the second section of that. If you, not BCF, what am I talking about? Sharing Jesus Without Fear class. Yeah, this is like, wait, I'm not starting that all over again. Woo! That's a lot. Anyways, Sharing Jesus Without Fear, the second part of the class, the meat, the power punch, the knockout punch is coming up. It's in your bulletin, so keep that in mind. And of course, as always, please take an opportunity to fill out our visitor's card if you're visiting, prayer requests, and of course, connection cards. You can get connected. Apples of Gold is one ministry that is awesome. That's our reception ministries. They have positions. You can give a 1 day a week, 2 day a week, 1 day a month, whatever you have to offer if you're interested in answering the phones and scheduling meetings for the pastors. All right. Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Now, it's been a couple of weeks because of the holidays, so we're going to actually run over some of this that we covered before, just the first five verses. Then the rest is all new, but we're going to take a running stab at this. I've entitled our message, The Sounds of Silence, and we are going to look here at the seventh seal, and within the seven seals are seven trumpets. We're only going to get to four of the trumpets, and trust me, that's a lot of stuff, a lot of horrific happenings here. But now, understand, once again, the purpose of God giving us this insight as to what is going to transpire in the last days is so that there would be an urgency in our heart, an urgency to let people that we care about, people that we love, know that they need to respond to Christ. Now, as we've been moving through Revelation, you saw the church age. We saw that in the first three chapters. There's the introduction to Jesus, and then we saw the church age. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, you have the rapture of the church. And I've shown you that over and over again through Revelation. If you haven't been here, you can go back and listen to those messages. But it's very clear that the rapture happens there. Then in 5, we saw the sealed scroll. And in chapter 6, we saw 6 of the 7 seals opened by Christ. Christ was the only one worthy to open and begin to break these seals, and then to read what was in the scroll. Then in chapter 7, we saw the 144,000 Jewish young men who have kept themselves pure, who are going to be used by God during the tribulation to share the gospel. And then, of course, we saw just before the seventh seal, we saw a great silence, and we're going to look at that again. Now, listen, I'm sure you're all semi-familiar with the song The Sounds of Silence, originally by Simon and Garfunkel. I knew there was some Garfunkel in there somewhere. I just like saying Garfunkel. That's a funny word. But listen, the song starts off, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Listen, there is nothing friendly about darkness, as we are going to see as we go through Revelation. In fact, darkness keeps us from seeing the truth clearly. And so keep that in mind as we're moving through here. This is a different sound of silence than the song by Garfunkel. Him, that guy. All right, verse 1 through 6, the seventh seal. And when he opened the seventh seal, and who is the he here? Jesus. He is the only one worthy. There was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Now, we know this. When we get to heaven, there's no time there. But know that John is just a visitor there. So when he says about a half hour, it's not like he had his iPhone to check the time. He's just guesstimating what it was like in his economy. Now, heaven is loud. We saw in chapter after chapter, in fact, after every seal, the first six seals, he says, and then I heard, and then I heard. And then we saw this huge, huge multitude, and they're singing, and the angels. And so all of a sudden, this silence demonstrates a sober, awestruck silence. It's not fearful, because those in heaven aren't going to have to endure this. But this is something that's been culminating for 6,000 years of men rejecting God. And God finally brings his judgment, and all of heaven goes, oh, this is going to be intense. Now, understand, we've already seen the seals, the first six seals. We saw the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And so for there to be a silence, this speaks of the fact that this is going to be intense. And I'm here to tell you, this is intense today, but next week, if you're here, it's going to scare the hell out of you if you're not saved. If you are saved, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I need to get others saved. But this alone is going to be intense. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "Be silent in the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he has invited guests." So this is the day of the Lord. We are there. There are many there. There are some who have already come out of the tribulation, been murdered, been killed, been pleading with God, asking for God. But we know now that there's this momentary silence. Verse 2. "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. To them were given seven trumpets." So these are seven definite angels, the seven angels who stand before God. Now, interesting, as we were looking at the Christmas story, when Gabriel came, he says, "I am..." When he talked to Joseph, he says, "I am the one who stands before God." So possibly one of these seven could be Gabriel. We don't know. Maybe there's another seven. Listen, God has many, many angels. But here we know that in silence, they are given horns. Most likely, by the way, could be shofars. That's what the Jewish men would Jewish priests would play a shofar, and is actually a horn. A ram's horn that's twisted. And it sounds pretty cool, kind of scary. But it could be a brass horn. We're not told. It's not important. The important part is these seven angels in silence receive seven trumpets. And everyone knows that things are going to get crazy. Now, understand this, though. In the ancient times, a horn served many purposes. The trumpet... Well, like we know from Nehemiah, when he says, "Hey, whenever you hear the trumpet being blown, everyone assemble, move towards the sound of the trumpet. So they used it in order to assemble the people. A trumpet was used to proclaim a special event. A trumpet was to announce the entrance of royalty. A trumpet was also used for the call to war, a battle cry. And a trumpet was also used for victory. Now, as we're going to see here, the trumpets that we're going to hear are all of those combined. We know this. Give you an example. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 52. We have a horn being blown, and we have the assembly to victory and to battle. Because at the end of the tribulation, we return with Christ in battle. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So here's a trumpet, and it's called the last trumpet. Listen, next week we will explore. Well, wait. If it's the last trumpet, isn't the rapture then happening at the end of the seven trumpets? Well, I'll explain that next week. We don't have time to develop that, but the answer is no, and you'll see why next week. But there is a trumpet that we hear when we are raptured, and it is called a last trumpet. And that's, anyway, I want to tell you, but you got to come back. How about that? Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So here you go. Listen, that call was a call to victory. When we get raptured, it was a call to war, because we will go to war with the Lord. It's also called, it's a call to introduce royalty. We are going to sit on the Lord's throne. We're going to be his kings and priests. We know this from Revelation 5:10, that he has made us kings and priests to reign on his throne. So here, as we see these trumpets, they proclaim all that, but it also proclaims a judgment, as we're going to see here. Some heavy, heavy judgment. Verse 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense. Now, I explained this last week, but I want to develop it just a little bit more. This altar, it's inside the holy place, not the holiest of holies. It's outside the holiest of holies, but it's on your way in, was this altar of incense. That was the prayers that were offered up by the priest. And that would be before the veil that entered into the holiest of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, as you think about that this is heaven, then you begin to understand, listen, when God instructed the Israelites to build a tabernacle or to build a temple, you understand? He was causing Israel to make kind of an image of heaven on earth. That's what the temple is supposed to be. By the way, although this is not the tabernacle, although this is the house of the Lord, when we come together and worship, it's kind of like a picture of heaven. We're all different. We're all different backgrounds. We come together to worship one God with one heart and one purpose. That's kind of a picture of heaven. But I like the fact that here they're at the altar of incense, just like in the temple. And what's interesting is you think about the fact that the earthly temple was a picture of heaven. Well, when you came into the earthly temple, the first thing you would encounter as you came in through that door was the brazen altar. That is where you would have your sins atoned for. Listen, before we can even offer our prayers, we must come and offer our sins before the Lord. 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We have to be able to come rightly and thankfully, before you and I could even come to God, we had to go through the cross of Christ to receive that forgiveness. So that brazen altar that you go to before you get to the altar of incense is what we must all do. And so I just love that here. Now, that he should, look at it says, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Now, of course, the first thing I think of is Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayers be set before you as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. When we offer our prayers before the Lord, and they are selfless prayers, just a wanting to be right before God, confessing our sins, it's a sweet aroma before God. It's a beautiful scent to him. Or when we cry out in our distress, knowing that he is the only one who can meet our needs and help us. Though you may be praying in silence, they are heard loud and clear before God's throne. They go before that altar of incense, and they're sweet, and the sweetness grabs his attention, and he cares about you. So though we may pray and we think, gosh, my prayers sound like silence in heaven, they are loud and clear. Side note, and I talked about this last week, but I want to draw this out a little more. This angel seems to be performing priestly duties. He's dealing with the prayers of all the saints, and some believe that this isn't an angel, because angelos is simply messenger, that it's actually Jesus and not an angel. Could be. We're not told. Some say, well, no, it can't be Jesus, because it says another angel. And the word another means another one like the one you saw earlier. Okay, maybe. But here's what I know. Jesus is not an angel. He's a creator of all the angels. He's God. But he is a messenger. He has a message. He always has. But if this is an angel, an actual celestial being and not Jesus, that doesn't mean that you and I should pray to angels. You see, this has caused a lot of controversy. One, that Jesus is an angel just like Lucifer, that they're brothers. No. There are whole religions that believe that. Also, there are some who believe, well, you can pray to angels. No, don't pray to angels. There is one mediator between God and man. So, is this Jesus? Could be. But if it is, he's not an angel. He's God. Is this an angel? Could be. But if it is, we shouldn't pray to angels. We pray to Jesus. Maybe for some reason God appointed this angel for this task at this particular time. We don't know. And I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, and neither should you. But this is what we should be dogmatic about. Jesus isn't an angel, a celestial being. He is God, and angels can't be prayed to. Got that? That's pretty simple. Let's move on. But there's something comforting. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says this, speaking of Jesus. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since, listen to this, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is praying for us. Now, do you realize, listen, at the end of service, we're going to have some deacons up here, and they are willing to pray with you. I am willing to pray with you. If you have something heavy on your heart, we are willing, and it's a privilege and an honor to pray with you. In fact, in this church, there are many who would pray with you. This is a very prayerful church. I love that about this church. Now, as wonderfully beautiful as that is, and it is, what's even better is the fact that if you and I pray, or you pray with a deacon, or you pray with someone else in the church, that Jesus is already praying for you. How awesome is that? We have to remember that. But the problem we have is that we hear the sound of silence and we think no one is praying. Sometimes the church is praying for you and Jesus is praying for you and you don't hear it. We pray that though God would give you the ability to feel it. So important. Don't let the sound of silence convince you that nothing is happening, because prayer is powerful and prayer changes everything. Now also notice here that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Some say, and I'm just covering this just so you know, you need to know your scripture. Some will say that these prayers are the prayers of the martyrs who have died. We saw some martyrs who were killed during the tribulation. And they go, but it doesn't say that. It says the prayer of all the saints. Our prayers are heard in heaven, even when we don't feel like it. All the prayers that have ever been offered are all stored up in heaven, and God has not forgotten. Especially when you pray against the atrocities of mankind. And there have been a lot, and there are a lot, and there will continue to be a lot until the time of Christ's return, and this that we're looking at. But here now in verse 5, we see that silence is broken. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunder, lightning, and earthquake. Now this word threw it in the Greek is balo. Balo. Balo means to throw violently without care of where it should fall. Why would this angel do that violently? I'll tell you why. Because the angels, although we don't pray to them, they see what's going on down here at earth. Listen, and I love this. As our prayers are going up, God's judgment is coming down. Now, one commentator said this: significantly, the prayers of God's people set in motion the coming judgment of history. Prayers are more potent, more powerful than all the dark and mighty powers that are let loose in the world. More powerful than anything else is the power of prayer set ablaze by the fire of God and cast upon the earth. And I'm like, wow, that's true. Now, imagine, we get disgusted, I know you do too, at the inhumanities, the atrocities that man does to man for the sake of power or pleasure or what have you. And you go, oh, how could people do such horrible things? The angels see all of that. They've been watching it for 6,000 years, and they've been wondering, God, look what happened to that child. Look what happened to that woman. Look what happened to that family. Look at how evil men are. When are you going to judge them? And God's like, wait. I am going to judge them, but I love them too, and I want them to be saved. They watched as Jesus Christ was born, and then he lived a life sinless, and then how his own creation treated him as he was ripped and torn apart. And they watched that. In love, they worship Jesus. They're in love with Jesus, and they watched us lower. I mean, they could tear us up, and they're being held back by their obedience to God. Here, this angel is instructed by God to hurl fire from the prayers, the cries of God's people from the centuries. And he pulls out that fire and he hurls it, probably with some, get those people down here. I think he's a little angry because the wording there is that he hurled it violently and he didn't care where it fell. He just wanted it down there. Yeah. Verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, everyone in heaven knows this is going to be intense. That angel just threw that fire down, knows that that's nothing compared to what they are going to unleash. But that is going to be the beginning That is why silence fell. So let's look at the first trumpet. Now remember, the seventh seal is when the seven trumpets are released. When we get to the seventh trumpet, that's when the seven vials will be, or bowls, depending. But here we have the first trumpet. The land is going to be struck. Now, I want you to notice, by the way, seven trumpets, seven angels. We're in the seventh verse. I like that, kind of the continuity of that. I notice little strange things like that. Okay. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now think about it, the trees, a third of the trees. Well, what grows on trees? Fruit, apples, bananas, lemons, oranges, fruit, a lot of fruit. Besides the fact, just the medicinal things that come from trees and the fact that trees help the ecology, helps the environment. It's going to wipe out a third of them. And then the grass. Listen, when he says grass, that doesn't mean he just hit all the golf courses. No. He's talking about, spinach, cabbage. Thank God, get that cabbage. Now, cabbage, lettuce. Yeah, those are all greens. Animals eat the vegetation. So if you have a third of the trees and a third of the grass, not only does man not get to eat that, but the animals also will start not have something to eat. Sorry, vegetarians, but us carnivorous people are going to have to suffer too. So you hear what you have. When you hit a third, you lose vegetation, you lose produce, you lose meat. Now, it's interesting to me that we have all these people running around saying, global warming, global warming. It's going to cause the earth. No, no, no. You know what's going to cause the earth to burn up? The prayers, your prayers, not your car. Your prayers is what's going to cause global warming. Listen, forget the Green New Deal. It's going to be a charred nightmare. While people are worried about saving the planet, the planet's going, it's my purpose. It's what's supposed to happen. The earth is heating up, not because of cars, but because God says it's coming. It's getting close. And man can plan and scheme a Green New Deal, a brown old deal. I don't care what color the deal is. Here's the deal. The earth is coming to an end. Happy New Year. It's true. God said it. Yet in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of incorruptible God into the image, an image like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creepy things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Listen, I'm not saying be careless with the earth. We are to be good stewards. I'm not saying start throwing your trash out your window because the earth is going to burn up anyway. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this is going to happen, and it has nothing to do with automobiles or jet planes or fossil fuels. It has everything to do with the sin of man and the prayers of the righteous who say, how long, O God, will you put up with all this sin? Now, hang this on your belt, a third of the trees and a third of the grass. You got that? We're going to need that later. I'm going to show you something that's pretty cool. Now, notice there's thunder and hail mixed with blood. That sound familiar, right? Exodus chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses stretched out his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted from the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. But remember this? Remember when that all happened? It didn't touch any of the Israelites. When this is all happening right here, the 144,000 that are sealed, they don't get touched. Kind of similar. Remember this as well. We're going to see later on the two prophets. They're running around right now. So we don't know if this is something that they're calling down on earth, but God's going, yep, that's my plan anyway. They're just doing what I... We're not told. We just know that during the tribulation, during all this stuff, the two witnesses are running around there, and they're doing the things that Moses and Elijah did, and this is kind of Moses-esque. So is this possible? Yeah. It could be that the two witnesses, they don't know that in heaven it's an angel doing this and it's a trumpet doing this. They just think it's their call. And it is. It's all those things. And it's just a reminder how God will involve us in the work that he is doing. Now, let's look at the second trumpet, verse 9 through 8. The sea is struck. Then a second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, some will say, oh, a meteor came down and push into the water, and to John it looked like a mountain. I disagree. Why? Because the word here for mountain is oros. And you go, yay, oros, go oros. No. Later on, in a moment, we're going to see a star. It's going to say a star. The word for star is aster, where we get asteroid. So if the star is an asteroid, then the mountain, what is it then? It's not an asteroid. Well, look at what John says. Something like a great mountain burning with fire. Now, let me ask you this. How many have you seen with your naked eye, not on YouTube, a volcano? Anybody here see an actual volcano erupt? Yeah, me either. I've seen it on YouTube. Odds are John has never seen a volcano. Odds are very favorable that he's never seen a volcano. And I bet he didn't see one on YouTube either. I'm just guessing. Perhaps this is a volcano. Listen, when a volcano erupts, it is spectacularly horrifying. Did you know that right now we are in danger of Yellowstone National Park erupting? In fact, a year or two ago, the roads in Yellowstone, the blacktop was literally melting from the heat under the ground. And the animals were moving in different... They shut Yellowstone down, I think, for that whole year because they were afraid that it was going to erupt. Now, here's the problem. Under Yellowstone is a 112-mile-long magma ready to explode. Now, Mount St. Helens, you familiar with that? They say that that was 500 times an atom bomb. Yeah. Well, if Yellowstone blows, it'll be 10,000 times stronger than Mount St. Helens. In fact, they believe that if it were to blow today, full strength, that they're fearing could happen at any time, that it's possible that it would probably take out half of the United States. Bye-bye. Yeah, They actually made a movie about it. Horrible movie. But they made one. They made one. Now, the problem is Yellowstone is nowhere near the ocean. This one says that a mountain being tossed into the ocean. Well, La Palma, volcanic island on the west coast of Africa, has a volcano named Cumbre Vieja. You're like, yay. I'm just telling you. It's on the west side of this volcano. Number one is steep, but the water there is incredibly deep. And you're like, so what? Well, here's why. When it erupts, and they believe it will toss literally billions of tons of earth into that very, very deep water, causing a wave over 1,000 feet tall, traveling at 500 miles per hour from Africa. They say that wave will reach all the way to America on the East Coast and wipe out most of the East Coast. By the time it hits America, it'll be 200 feet high, from 1,000 feet down to 200. It's just a 200-foot wave. It's not too bad. Yeah. Kind of sounds like what he's describing here. Imagine John's never seen it. This mountain goes up, hits the water, big, huge wave, and what does it do? It kills a third of the living creatures. You know there's more living life? There's more life in the ocean than there is on terra firma, on land? There are more animals dwelling there. And besides that, think about this. Do you know where most of our oxygen comes from? Not trees. Ocean plankton. Ocean plankton produces about 40% of the oxygen that we have. Now imagine, if it does that kind of damage, the air is going to be thinner after this event. Now, he said that the sea was going to be turned like blood. I believe it's because of all the dead fish. You figure there's more fish in the sea than there are people on land, and if a third of them are dead, that's going to be horrible. Absolutely horrible. Now, can you imagine 3 or 4 days later, all those fish floating on top, dead, the smell? Stop dreaming, you sushi lovers. I don't get it, but no. That's going to be horrible. And then it says a third of the ships. At any given time, there are 25,000 commercial boats in the water on any given time and any given day, not counting leisure, recreational vehicles. All of them wiped out, a third of them. Wow. So, once again, remember I told you, hang a third of the trees and a third of the grass? Now hang a third of the living creatures and a third of the ships. Hang those on your belt. I know it's getting heavy, but anyways. Let's look at the third trumpet. I'm going to stop there. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Now, is this a star? No. Why? A star is a sun. All the stars you see are suns. There is no way that a sun could come down to Earth and hit our planet and the Earth survive. But remember, I told you the word in the Greek is aster, where we get what? Asteroid. So this is an asteroid of some sort. Now, by the way, you're going to see here this asteroid has a name. It actually has a name. Watch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, Wormwood, does anyone remember what that means? Anybody? Chernobyl. Thank you. Look at that. She's ready for trivia. Trivia pursuit. Yes, Chernobyl was the name means wormwood. Now, in the 80s, there were biblical scholars that were trying to say, well, then what this is right here is this is a nuclear weapon coming down, and it's hitting the waters, and it's causing the waters to be poisoned. Because, you know, right now, Chernobyl, when they had that accident, they're saying that it's going to take 2,000 years before it could become inhabitable again. Of course, they were wrong. Science, way to go, because there's life already starting up over there. Of course, it's freaky life, six heads and stuff like that, but it's life. I don't believe that. I believe that this is, as it says, it's an asteroid. It's a star. It's not a star. It's an asteroid coming down. It's called a star, but it's aster. But here's the thing. Where does the asteroid come from? Space. There's all kinds of freaky gases and stuff in space. This rock, we don't know what it's made of, what planet it came from, what kind of, you know, poisonous planet, rock it is, or where it came from. So it comes down, and I believe as it's coming into our atmosphere, pieces are breaking off, and it just so happens it lands on fresh water. It lands in the land. It lands on land to destroy water. The water becomes poisonous, causes death. Look at what's happening here. Trees and grass. Third, which, by the way, trees also produce oxygen, plankton, sea life. So the air is thin, very thin. There have been earthquakes, horrible, stinky fish, blood in the water, poisonous water. Your fresh water is poison, your salt water. Dead animals everywhere. I don't think I want to catch anything and eat it out of there. And then the air is thin. Man, not good. Not good living conditions. So hang this on your belt along with the water and the ships and the grass and the trees. You got a third of the living creatures, a third of the ships, a third of the rivers, a third of the waters. Let's keep going. Look at the fourth trumpet. Then the fourth angel sounded. And a what? What? A third of the sun was struck. A third of the moon. A third of the stars. A third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine. And likewise the night. Jesus said this. He said this over in Luke 21:25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distresses of nation with perplexities, the seas and the waves roaring. How about a 200-foot wave? I'd say that's roaring. Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. Now, when it says here that the sun was struck, I do not believe, but here's the thing, God can do anything he wants to do. Maybe God, you know, God is the one who gives the sun its power. Maybe he just turns the pilot light down a little bit. I think possibly more, what makes more sense is that volcano that erupted and that meteor that hit throws up ash into the sky to where the ashes, listen, when a nuclear bomb goes off, you will suffer a nuclear winter afterwards because of all the ash in the sky. I believe what's happening in over a third of the earth is covered with ash in the sky, and they're having a nuclear winter. Possible. Or God just said, you know what? I'll turn down the sun. And what will affect is the moon. Of course, the moon won't be as bright because it's just reflecting. The problem I have is a third of the stars. That's why I think it's a nuclear winter. But I'm not going to be dogmatic. He could just go around to all the stars and turn them down a little bit. He's in control. But I think more likely is it's just the cloud, a nuclear winter. Just. So the light is dimmed. Okay. If you have less sunlight, what else do you have less of? Heat. So it's cold, no stars, dead smelly fish everywhere. The air is thin. It's like being up on a mountaintop where it's harder to breathe. Okay? Massive food shortage, death all around. Yeah. Now, Do you see God's grace in this? I do. Look at, let me know. Remember, your belt is full of stuff right now. Thank God it was only a third, or you wouldn't be able to keep your pants up. Okay, so it's a third of the living creatures, a third of the ships, a third of the rivers, a third of the waters, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, a third of day and night, a third of the trees, a third of the grass, a third of everything. How is that God's grace? Because he could have taken it all. He's saying, look, I'm only going to do a third. Will you now call out to me? Will you turn to me? Do you understand? I'm giving you time to repent. That's the goal, folks. God could wipe it out in a second. And by the way, at the Battle of Armageddon, when we get there, you'll see he'll do that. He'll just say a word and every evil person will pop like a grape. With a word. And then with a word, we'll be standing there with Jesus. And I love this. With a word, he'll destroy all the galaxies and the earth. And we'll be standing there going, whoa. And then he'll go, watch this. And he'll create all new. He could do it in a moment. Why only a third? Because he's given people time to repent. So the question, see, God will allow, the question is, have you repented? God has given you time. He's giving me time. He's giving us warnings. Folks, do you see the warnings around? I was talking with someone the other night. They go, I don't watch any news. I was like, man, that must be blissful. To not know what's going on. Yet at the same time, it's not good not to know. It's good to have a plan, a prayer. So it's kind of like I don't want to be blindsided, but man, I wish I didn't know all that I know. Because if you knew what I knew, then you'd know what I know, and then we'd both know. But God will turn up the heat. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us enough sometimes to go, you know what? I'm going to turn up the heat. I'm going to make you dance a little. Not because I'm being mean, but because I want to give you a chance to repent. And the question we should be asking, man, that is pretty horrific. You got the four horsemen. That was awful. We had the seals. Those were bad. Now we come to these trumpets, and you're like, can it get any worse? Verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Now, real quick, some of your translations may have an eagle. Some say angel. It's not angelos here. It's actually eagle. And you go, what? Is there an eagle? No. It's an angel that looks like it. Remember before God's throne, there's one that looks like a man, one that looks like an ox, one that... looks like a lion, and one that looks like an eagle. It could be one of those. If it is, it's a, you know, he's got eyes all over. He's got six wings. So it's kind of eagle-ish. It's the best way he could describe it. Flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Listen, one woe from an angel saying woe, that's like, oh my gosh, look out, kind of thing. But to say it three times, and by the way, with what kind of voice? Loud. He's not going, hey, whoa. He's like, and how loud are angels? I don't know. But I have a feeling it's going to be pretty spectacular to hear an angel say whoa from his diaphragm as he's flying. I bet that's going to be spectacular. But he says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Listen, I told you, next week, you can read ahead, but prepare yourself. When you come in, some intense stuff. The three trumpets are way intense. If an angel says, woe, look out, trust me, it's intense. But it seems contrary, and it's not. It seems contrary to God's love, out of his love, that he would let these things happen. No, that is the whole purpose. He wants our attention. Listen, sometimes if he's allowing hardships in your life, you're like, oh, man, Pastor Randy, I'm in a hardship. He's asking for your attention. Listen, every time I'm going through a hardship, I may not like it. I may not even, sometimes I don't respond properly, but I will tell my family, you know what? God wants me to learn something. I don't know what it is he wants me to learn, but I need to learn it. Why do I need to learn it? Because I don't want it anymore. He'll keep letting you go through it until you learn it. You know, that, and that's what I found in my life. When I learned a lesson, that lesson doesn't come around no more. And as long as I don't learn the lesson, that thing keeps coming around. And it's like God says, you didn't learn it, so you're going to go again, mijo. If he was passive, he would check out and let us just go our sin-driven, hell-bent ways. But he turns up the heat to get our attention. He will take us out of our comfort zone. Because too often, when I'm comfortable, when you're comfortable, God kind of, he gets put on the back burner. So he says, no, 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 I'm going to get me off the back burner. I'm going to put you on the back burner. And you're like, oh, it's hot. And he's like, yes. Now, notice I made such an emphasis, or excuse me, the Holy Spirit makes an emphasis of the thirds, right? The third of this, third of that, third of this. One, I told you one reason is God showing his mercy. He only did a third instead of doing the whole kit and caboodle. But why not a fourth or a half? Why a third? Well, a couple of reasons. How about the fact that our God is a triune God and Jesus is a third? And the judgment that's coming upon humanity is for rejecting that third. The third who took our sin, nailed it to a cross. He took our punishment. And so now he's taking a third. For now. Of course, notice this angel said, what? Woe, woe, woe. There's another reason for a third. You're like, really? Another reason? Yes, there is. Remember, he took land, vegetation. He took a third. Right? Isn't Jesus the bread of life? Wheat. Wheat makes bread. He's the bread of life. So you didn't partake of him, then you'll know what it is to be hungry. Jesus said, he who eats of me will never be hungry. So he took out a third of the vegetation. Then he took out what? A third of what? Water. He's the living water. Right? He says, John 7:38, he that believes in me, as the scripture says, out of the belly will flow rivers of living water. So he took out vegetation, a third. He took out a third of the water. Jesus Christ is the living water. And he knocked out a third of the light. Isn't Jesus the light of the world? He's like, look, you ignore me as the bread of life. You ignore me as the living water. You ignore me as the light of the world. Then I'm going to take a third of that away from you. So hopefully you'll want and desire me. I'm the fulfillment of those things. I give you all of that back. Because the ones who have gone through the tribulation are now in heaven. Guess what they got? Light. Water. Manna. Angel food cake. All over the place. It's awesome. It's awesome. John 8:12, then Jesus again said to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. Listen, not hello darkness, my old friend. Listen, it may be something old in your life, but behold, all things are new. You are now to be light of the world. No more darkness. Don't welcome darkness into your life. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Does that sound like a friend to these people during the tribulation? The darkness, the stench? No, there's nothing friendly about that. But yet, so often, so many will make friends with the world and be at odds with God. Listen, we don't have time. Kids, we don't have time to play. If we reject Christ, if we are silent about who Jesus is, then maybe we are going to hear these noisy happenings on the earth. 200-foot tidal waves, volcanic eruptions, dead fish. And we wait till the next ones. Holy moly, folks. I'm telling you, if you get scared easy, maybe, you know, just watch online where you can cuddle your pillow or something, because it's intense. I'm not gonna play around. I'm gonna give you full force the next ones. So you be warned. If you have some friends that you want to scare them into heaven, bring them next week. But if you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? He loves you so much. He's proven that. He's taken your sin. He's taken your punishment. Listen, today, between you and God, may there be no sound of silence. May you say, yes, Lord, come into my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, that we must go to the brazen altar before we can go to the prayer. We must have our sins forgiven. Lord, perhaps some of us have been praying and wondering why it feels like our prayers are silent. Maybe we haven't surrendered our sins before the brazen altar. Father God, it's no time to play church, but it is time to ask you into our lives, to surrender our way, to receive your way. And to be ready, because you're on your way. God, I just thank you so much that you did not leave us stranded in our sin, but gave us a way out. You're going to come, Lord, and you're going to take us out of this world before this mess hits. And so, Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I don't know who's here, who's walking with you 100%, who's playing church. I don't know who's here that's hanging on to sin. I don't know who's here that's overwhelmed with anxiety or anxiousness, or who just needs more trust in you. I don't know, but you do, Lord. And you have an answer for each one of us. Why don't we all stand? Father God, I pray you'd put on the hearts of my brothers and sisters, that you'd put on the hearts of each person here this morning, that if they need to be right with you, that they'd be willing not to be silent, but to come forward. If that's you, if you need to come forward, you please come forward right now, because we want to pray with you. If you need to surrender while God is calling your name, don't worry about what the person to the right or the left thinks. Don't think about your spouse. You just think about you and Jesus. Don't be silent today if you need to surrender your heart to Christ. Anybody need to come forward this morning? Well, praise you, Lord. Father, I just ask for us that remain, who are standing here, that if anybody here just needs prayer, they just need prayer, they just want to get this thing, that they would come up and pray with these deacons up front here. They're more than willing. And Lord, to know that you're praying for us as well. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your warnings. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's sing one last song, and if you need to come forward for prayer, the deacons are up here. God bless you.